what we're going to explore together tonight, at least for a while, is not easy reading, and it's quite complicated. And my prayer is that God will excite us and that he'll give us enough of an understanding about this passage to read it with awe and with appreciation. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. Angel flies through the heavens and shouts, verse 7, chapter 14. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. Understand, this is an angel out there in bird space, flying round the earth with loud voice, shouting this message to people that are on the earth. Verse 8, a second angel followed, saying, it has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen. That is, the Babylon who made all nations drink the wine of her sexual immorality, which brings wrath. I think that's the first time Babylon's mentioned in the book of Revelation, and we need to pause for a moment and catch our breath as to where we are in the narrative. Starting in chapter 6, verse 1, and going all the way to the 19th chapter, we're in a period of time that is limited. That is, God has set parameters. It's 7 years, or two periods of 1,260 days, first and second, two periods, first and second, of 42 months, which is the same time. It's a special period in biblical prophecy because it was the period of time Gabriel told Daniel would end what's called the 70th week prophecy. Way back then, 500 years BC, Daniel was asking God. He was a prisoner, remember? You couldn't call him a prisoner. He was actually vice president of the whole empire. And he was asking God, okay, so our time here of captivity in Babylon is over. What do we do next? And God told Daniel this 70-year prophecy, this 70-week prophecy. All of it is history. The first 69 units of those 70 were all finished when Jesus died on the cross. One more unit, one more week, one more 7-year period remains. And that's what's discussed in these chapters. Beginning in chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 1, when Jesus snaps the first seal, all the way over to the passage we're going to read tonight. Now that passage has already been redefined for us. By that I mean, we have been told in the earlier parts of the book of Revelation what happens during the first 42 months, the first 3.5 years. There will be two special prophets from God. The temple's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. It's going to be active, and it's going to be a vital temple. That is, it's not just a playhouse. Those sacrifices during that time will count. Will count during that first 3.5 years. But that's now behind us. That all ended when those two prophets God sent were killed. And a person who is called the beast, who works for Satan, rises to the top of the mountain of human authority. He's a mean dude. He's a bad guy. And you read all about the detail of that if you read chapter 13. But you see, we're at the end of that period now. We're at the end. We're almost finished that last 42 months, that last 1,260 days. And these three angels fly through the earth's atmosphere, And they make these three announcements. The first one is, very clear, the hour of God's judgment has come. Now, if you know what that means, that sends a chill up your spine. God is angry. His patience has been exhausted. And he's going to pour out his wrath. Ugly, ugly, ugly. Upon the sinners who followed the beast, the human world leader. And God is going to pour out his judgment upon all the people still living on the earth. The second angel mentions Babylon the Great has fallen. And Babylon here is identified as the source, look at that. It's the source from which all nations, that means all the various language groups living on the earth at that time, all nations have been made drunk by the wine of her sexual immorality. Notice it's her. Babylon the Great is mentioned in the female case. And the announcement here is that Babylon the Great has assumed global dimensions of authority and popularity. She represents a global system, and what she does, what she promotes, what she leads people to do, brings God's wrath to a boiling point. So we're in deep wrath. If you turn to chapter 15, we read that there are seven angels who are ready to express God's wrath by pouring out seven bowls of God's wrath. And that's where we are in chapter 16. And when chapter 16, when those seven angels have done what they are supposed to do, pour out God's wrath, we read God says in verse 17, when the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, I heard a loud voice out of the sanctuary from the throne saying, it is done. That's God's voice. And it announces that God's wrath has been appeased in those seven bowls of wrath. Then one of those seven angels who poured out these seven bowls of wrath comes to John in chapter 17, verse 1, and this launches us into our two chapters tonight. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with John. Here's an invitation. I will show you the judgment of the notorious prostitute who sits on many waters. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her. That sounds familiar. That's exactly what the angel said about her over in chapter 14, the first verse we read. It has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen, who made all nations drink. That has been executed. And this angel wants to take John to get a close-up picture of the destruction of this system called Babylon the Great. Now, we already know that Babylon the Great is not attuned to the things of God. She is a prostitute, we were just told. This angel tells John she's a prostitute. She sits on many waters. That means that she has a global empire, a global reach. She is the one with whom the kings of the earth committed sexual immorality. Those who live on the earth became drunk on the wine of her sexual immorality. So three times now we've been told her trade is sex. S-E-X. Sex. John says, he, that is this angel, carried me away in the spirit to a desert, and I saw a woman, again female. That's not a slam or a slur on any woman present, but that's what John saw. He sees a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Whoa, stop, wait a minute. We don't need to ask who that is, do we? Do you know who the beast is? She's sitting on the scarlet beast, covered with blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the guy we call the Antichrist. That's the guy that has just been king of the nations on earth for 42 months. That's the guy that Satan empowered to rule. That's the Antichrist. That's who we're talking about. And here he's pictured as this dragon, this creature. And we read that the woman who sits upon her, upon this dragon, or this beast, rather. The dragon is Satan. The beast is Satan's puppet. So this is Satan's puppet. That's who she's riding. And it's a posture of triumph. She is taking full advantage of whatever success that beast has by riding upon him, and he carries her as part of his system, as part of his method by which he causes people to turn away from the truth of God and the God of truth and to follow her. And her trade is based upon sex. It's what we've been told 3 times. So here, John has been transported out to the arena. And the one who takes him there is one of the 7 angels who poured out the 7 bowls of wrath. And the angel says, John, I want you to see firsthand the judgment that God pours out, the wrath that God pours out upon this harlot, this woman who's riding the beast. Obviously, the woman is a system. She is called Babylon the Great. That seems to be her name. Tracking with me? Let's go on. We read, the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls. Wow. She's decked out. Appropriate for someone who deals in sex. She had a gold cup in her hand, but look what's in it. It's filled with everything vile and with the impurities of her prostitution. That's an awful picture. Terrible, disgusting picture. But John must see this. There's a message here. There's something going on in these 2 characters, this beast that we already recognize as being the Antichrist, and this woman who is riding upon him. He is carrying her. She is helping him advance her authority and control. Her business is immorality, and she is a prostitute. Now watch. The gold cup she has in her hand is filled with everything vile and with the impurities of her prostitution. I don't know what that means, and I don't want you to tell me if you know. It's very obvious. It's a disgusting substance. It's something that she collects through the mischievousness of the work she does and the person she is. On her forehead, a cryptic name was written, and here it is. She's called Babylon the Great, and she's labeled the mother of prostitutes, the mother of the wild things of the earth. Now get this. This woman represents the essence, the promotion, and the whole business of the misuse, abuse, and prostitution of the sexual powers your Creator gave us. Remember, sex was not Satan's idea. God created man, male and female. That's sex. God did that. Satan didn't do that. Adam and Eve didn't create their own sexuality. That was created for them, and they were created as beings who had those capacities that were identical to the equipment God gave them to function. Babylon. Anybody know anything about Babylon? The first time it's mentioned in the Bible is way back in the days right after the worldwide flood. Remember that? And way back in those days, shortly after Noah and his family got off the ark, they began to have families. A certain person founded a town which became a city, and the name of that city was Babylon. Babylon. Hold that in mind. Because way back there, before the earth had really totally dried out from the waters of the great flood, this founder of that city decided that he didn't want to follow God's ways. He wasn't interested in serving God. He would put together an alternate way of life, a way of life that would ignore God and mock God and would bring this creature or this whole system that's represented by this prostitute. Her name, Babylon the Great. Let me read you something. From Babylon, this historian preacher says, from Babylon, way back in Earth history, a mystery / religion spread. It was formed and founded in Babylon, and this mystery religion spread to all the surrounding nations. I'm reading now, and I'll continue to read until I tell you I've stopped. As the years went on and the world was populated by the descendants of Noah, this system spread. Everywhere the symbols were the same. Everywhere the cult of the mother and the child became the popular system. Their worship was celebrated with the most disgusting and immoral practices. The image of the Queen of Heaven with the babe in her arms was seen everywhere, though the names might differ given to the woman and the child, as languages differed, as the system spread to new nations. It became the mystery religion of Phoenicia. By the Phoenicians, it was carried to the ends of the earth. Ashtaroth and Tammuz, the mother and child of these hardy adventurers, became Isis and Horus in Egypt. Aphrodite and Eros in Greece. Venus and Cupid in Italy, and bore many other names in more distant places. Within 1,000 years, Babylonianism had become the religion of the world and had rejected the divine revelation. Take a big breath. Linked with this central mystery were countless lesser mysteries, the hidden meaning of which was known only to the initiates. But the outward forms were practiced by all the people who embraced this religion. Among these were the doctrines of purgatorial purification after death, salvation by countless sacraments, such as priestly absolution, sprinkling with holy water, the offering of round cakes to the Queen of Heaven, as mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, dedication of virgins to the gods, which was literally sanctified prostitution, weeping for Tammuz for a period of 40 days prior to the great festival of Ishtar, who was said to have received her son back from the dead. For it was taught that Tammuz was slain by a wild boar. Tammuz was way back in Babylon, one of the founders of this religion. The Tammuz was slain by a wild boar and afterwards was brought back to life. To him, the egg was sacred, as depicting the mystery of his resurrection, even as the evergreen was his chosen symbol and was set up in honor of his birth at the winter solstice, when a boar's head was eaten in memory of his conflict and a Yule log burned with many mysterious observances. The sign of the cross was sacred to Tammuz as symbolizing the life-giving principle and as the first letter of his name. It is represented upon vast numbers of the most ancient altars and temples and did not, as many supposed, originate with Christianity. From this mystery religion, the patriarch Abraham was separated by the divine call of God. And with this same evil cult, the nation that sprang from him had constant conflict under Jezebel, a Phoenician princess. It was grafted onto what was left of the religion of Israel in the northern kingdom in the day of Ahab and was the cause of their captivity at the last. Judah was polluted by it. For Baal worship was but the canonistic form of the Babylonian mysteries. And only by being sent into captivity to Babylon itself did Judah become cured of her fondness for idolatry. Baal was the sun god, the life-giving one, identical with Tammuz. That's the woman on the beast. So what the angel took John out to see was the end result of all of the corruption of religious diversion away from Jehovah worship that had become and is today a global anti-God religious system. Very sensual, extremely anti-scripture, anti-God. I feel so good getting that off my chest. I'm glad you're stunned. We live surrounded by Babylon the Great, the Scarlet Woman today. It is a religionized pattern of mythology, idolatry, commingled with brazen, raw, sexual overtones, implications, with all kinds of spin-offs. That's what she represents. That's what she images. And what John is seeing is that during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, as the Antichrist, under the empowerment of Satan himself and the false prophet, as they overtake all of the world's government structures and dominate the world politically, as their whole system moves to engulf the whole world, this becomes man's worship system. And God hates Babylonianism. Verse 6. John writes, "Then I saw that the woman was drunk, watch, on the blood of the saints and on the blood of the witnesses to Jesus." She's not neutral. She's viciously opposed. And part of what's in that gold cup full of vileness is the blood of God's children. And I don't mean that culturally. I mean those people who are saints unto God and people who are witnesses to Jesus. They are believers. They are what we would call born again believers. And she thrives on their blood. She is viciously opposed to them in every form, every structure, and she delights in their destruction. John's response, "When I saw her, I was utterly astounded." Yeah, you would be too. I would be too. Now, understand what's happening here. One of the seven angels who poured out the seven bowls has arranged an insider review of the destruction of this woman who rides the beast, her whole system. God will take her down. Totally, totally. Take her down. Destroy her whole system and everyone who follows her. And many of those who follow her would consider themselves deeply religious. And she rides the beast. That is, she takes advantage of the spreading power and deception of the Antichrist, and she supports and encourages, and she grows, her whole system grows as he, step by step, advances his power until he is king of the world. And that's a position God permits him to have, and it's energized by Satan. John looks at her, and he's utterly astounded. You know, we in America like to think that everybody has their own religious preference, and frankly, one religion is as good as another. And we like to think that if a person thinks that they're being religious, whatever they do must be good. I mean, it has a religious background. I mean, we really do. We're kind of, for the most part, easy to get along with. There's a vicious war going on in our world. And that war is between the beast and King Jesus. And the person who is helping the beast, the world ruler, achieve his world domination is this system of perverted worship that God calls prostitution, vile. And if you were to study the historic record of the development of Babylonianism, you would gag at the rites, the rituals, and the incredibly wicked stuff that is proposed to be worship to the true God. Okay. Now, the next few verses are tough, and I'm out of time. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. What you're going to see next, as we'll see next week, you're going to see how she is destroyed. Well, let's peek ahead just for that, okay? Look with me, please, at verse 12. "The 10 horns you saw," that is the 10 horns on the beast, "are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they will receive authority as kings with the beast." They are his colleagues. There are 10 of them, and he chooses them and they share in his authority for 1 hour. Now watch. These 10 kings, they're the kings of the 10 regions of the earth under the administration of the Antichrist. These 10 have one purpose. Look, they give their power and their authority to the beast. These will make war against the Lamb. You're going to find them at the Battle of Armageddon, these 10 kings and their armies. These will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of beasts. Those with him are called and elect and faithful. Now watch. Verse 16. The 10 horns you saw and the beast will hate the prostitute. Babylon the Great. You know why? Because Babylon the Great represents a system of religion that doesn't recognize the Antichrist as being God. So they will hate this woman. They will make her desolate and naked, devour her flesh, and burn her up with fire. Wow! Who's behind that? Verse 17. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his plan by having one purpose and to give their kingdom to the beast until God's words are accomplished. The woman you saw is the great city that has an empire over the kings of the earth. So what are we told? We're told that the woman who rides the beast is destroyed by the 10 kings of the earth who are appointed by the Antichrist to rule and reign with him. They destroy the woman. Think of that. Now, you want to see what the terms of that destruction is, read chapter 18. And you'll see that there are economic repercussions, there are political repercussions, there are ramifications having to do with everything that people call normal life. All of that is affected when these 10 kings carry out a purpose that God has placed in their heart, along with the Antichrist, and they destroy Babylonianism. It will be no more. And this angel wants John to see that, and John and Jesus want you and me to see that. One of the toughest chapters, I think, in all of Scripture. Get the big picture? Father in heaven, we thank you that we know that you are Lord God. We know that. And we know that things around us can sometimes get confused and complicated. And we know that sometimes black can seem like white and evil can be disguised to look like good or at least tolerable and on and on and on. We can be frustrated by the circumstances in which we live our lives because there's such deceit, such camouflage, such lying, such secrecy, such lust for power and perverted power. My Father, I'm sure John, as he watched this unfold, had mixed emotions. On the one hand, he was praising you that you are honored and glorified, this global system of satanic rebellion, this false religion, this crooked and vile system that penetrated politics and penetrated trade, this system that brought havoc and destruction to many, finally is destroyed. Thank you for your faithfulness to your promises. I'm sure John, on the other hand, had lots of questions in his mind, as we do tonight. But thank you for his attempt to write down for us what he saw as he watched your wrath bubble over and flow out and express itself against this vile and vicious and sensual and ugly, false religious system. I don't know what else to say, Father. To you be glory and honor. And I thank you that in just a minute or two here in this book, Jesus is going to come. He's going to punctuate that destruction of that vile system called Babylon. And he's going to destroy the beast, false prophet, and ultimately, Satan too. We don't feel so glad tonight. Boy, we win. Wow. It's not that we're feeling, Father. We're feeling awed. We're feeling stunned at the simple and bold description of your wrath. When you release it to do the things that your justice, your holiness, and even your grace demands you do. Thank you for this passage. Help us grasp it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.